Welcome to another faith-building message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. For more information about Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
Deb McIntyre, in our chapel service, said she believed that people were in a new season, and that is a prophetic word. I think all of us could say that at any time of our life, but I specifically think there is definitely a brand new season that you and I are entering into, personally, individually, and corporately as a church and as congregations around the city. And I think there'll be some recalibration of people's lives, some new levels that you will find yourself go to. And we're seeing that in a variety of areas, but I also am fully aware that when there is about to be a new season in any of our lives, that the opposition to your forward progress increases. And so you may find that the intensity of attack on your life is actually increased at the embarking of a brand new day. Every time through the Bible, you find somebody stepping into a brand new season of life, there is an intense period of darkness or difficulty or temptation. And I want to talk about some of that area today in our series on freedom and boundaries. When Jesus was about to be released out of his childhood, young adulthood, into the ministry, into 3 years of deeply impacting, world-shattering, history-making, planet-shaking history for just 3 years, he met with the fiercest opposition he had had in his entire life. For 6 weeks, he fought the devil in the wilderness with all kinds of temptations. We are told that he was tempted in every area, just as we will face temptation, so that he's able to empathize with us. But I believe that if we can understand some of the ways of God, we will navigate our pathway into a new day effectively and not find it pushing us back or disabling us from actually implementing everything that God's got for us. So if you're facing a difficult moment right now, take heart. So did Jesus, just before he got loosed into a whole new day of living, a whole new day of life. Take heart. So did the Israelite slaves, 4 million of them, before they got released out of Egypt and into their promised land. Take heart, because you'll find that any time that you're struggling and suffering, the devil is aware that the world is opening up before you, that God's ways and doors and angels and assistances are all coming to bear on you in the invisible world that you cannot see. But I'm telling you, all your prayers are about to be answered. All the prophecies are about to come to pass. All the promises of God are, and you've got to switch on your faith today. Don't say, oh yeah, well, I've heard that kind of thing before. Don't do that. Switch on your faith. Say, I'm going to reach out and lay hold of a prophetic word this morning and say, I'm laying hold of answers to prayer are about to come to pass in my life in Jesus' name. And everybody said, come on, give me some help here this morning to preach, and we'll get through it a whole lot quicker. Amen. Okay, freedom and boundaries. This is, I'm excited about this because it has encouragement, it has wisdom, and it has some correction on the inside of it in terms of our thinking. And so I want to start with John 8, verse 10 and 11, where it says, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Let me pray. Father, right now, take this scripture, take the word of God this morning, and help it shape our lives. Help it form in us new ways of thinking, new ways of feeling, new ways of committing. And I believe, Lord, that right now, here in this service, you've come amongst us to set people free, to make people free, and to help those who've been set free to stay free in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So the story, we all know the story. It's a very well-known story where a woman is brought before Jesus by the Pharisees, who they claim they had captured right in the act of adultery, which begs the question, where is the man? And it was a very oppressive society for women. And so that's your answer, basically. They brought the woman, and Jesus did a lot for women in his day and elevating their status and showing that he was quite happy to talk with the woman at the well. And especially in this case, the Pharisees knew, they predicted that he would be merciful where they wanted to be judgmental, that he would oppose their cry for judgment according to the law of Moses. And they wanted to use God's goodness against him. And so they sought to entrap him in this manner of bringing this obviously guilty woman that they had found and bring her before him and to stone her to death. That was the judgment prescribed by Moses. So Jesus stooped to the ground, started writing on the ground. Nobody knows quite what he wrote. I think it's probably a list of sins, because he then said, well, okay, let's go ahead and stone her. Wisdom has the capacity to embrace the negative, and generally that's where the answer is found. So go ahead, cut the baby in half, or go ahead, stone the girl. Just let the first one without sin cast the first stone. So with that, in the list of sins on the ground, they all start dropping their stones and walk away. It fascinates me that the only one there who was justifiably sinless, who could cast a stone, didn't. He showed mercy. And the ones who were sinful and weren't qualified to throw the stones were the ones who wanted to. And oftentimes that is a human psychology, that people who are struggling with a certain difficulty in their life judge others for the very same problem. But people who are big-hearted and living clean are able to show mercy and cover people's faults. And that is what Jesus did and will do for you. Basically, he said, I forgive you. But he says in at the end of this little conversation, neither do I condemn you. And oftentimes our preaching finishes there. But Jesus didn't condemn the woman, and that's awesome. But then he says, go and sin no more. Five more words, a little bit of pastoring. Don't get in a mess again, sister. Don't do it. Don't do this kind of thing anymore. Create some boundaries in your life so that you don't keep ending up in a mess and I have to keep saving you. And that is where we move from just having Jesus as our Savior to making him the Lord of our life. She experienced him as her Savior, and then he said, now let me get some guidance over your life and help lead you. Go and sin no more. Just make a break from that kind of life. And it's often easier said than done. If you've got a habitual pattern of living in a particular way, to break out of that, that's true freedom. And that is what Jesus came to do. Now, the word forgiveness from luo, a Greek word, means to set free like an animal from a trap or an animal that's been tied up to a tree. And so when you meet Jesus, the first thing he wants to do is to set you free so that you're not manipulated or owned or coerced by any other force other than your own will. And some of the bloodiest battles in the history of the world have been fought over this, over slavery, where other people have owned people and they have not been free to make their own choices. And so freedom is applied to the liberation of people from slavery so that they get set free. However, the word freedom it's been maneuvered by a lot of different groups and mindsets and teachings to actually mean a variety of things, and some of the things that freedom says is freedom is actually not freedom. And so what we find ourselves is with government legislation that is being handed to us that tends to legitimize things that God has said, that's not good for you. Don't be doing that. They've said, rather than the go and sin no more, they've said, no, we'll legitimize it because we can't stop you doing it seems. So we'll decriminalize certain activities that were once wrong, we're going to now call right. And then we're going to punish people for actually even opposing that. And so we live in a world where freedoms are really being redefined in major ways. And all of us have to have a personal level of boundaries to maintain our freedom on the inside of us. In the Old Testament, your cities were protected by walls around them. If the walls broke down, then a foreign army could come in and capture the people and take them away and make them slaves. And that happened commonly. That was often a war tactic for subduing foreign peoples and capturing lands, etc. So having the walls was your only defense. But it's the same in our individual lives. If we don't have some boundaries within our lives, we're going to find ourselves invaded by forces from the outside that seek to manipulate us and own us. There is a real devil in this world, and his only intent is to destroy the souls of every human being on earth. And if he can manage to dismantle the walls around our lives, whether it's from a government level or from a personal level or from a social level, he's going to actually find ways to get into our world and start manipulating us so that we find ourselves walking a path of destruction rather than a path of life. Jesus said narrow is the path that leads to life, but broad is the path that goes to destruction. Broadness is not freedom. To say freedom is a moral free-for-all. You can do whatever you like. You're going to find that if you do whatever you like, you're going to become enslaved to those things, and they're going to bring you more problems than answers. So here Jesus says to this woman, neither do I condemn you, I forgive you. One of the difficulties that people have is actually receiving forgiveness, accepting that I'm free, I'm forgiveness, to accept that freedom. My dear old dad, he received Jesus when he was a little over 70 years of age, and I'd received Christ nearly 50 years ago, and I'd been trying to win him to Christ for about 30 years. And finally, one Christmas day, down in Brookvale Auditorium, and we were down there in that warehouse, I'm preaching on Christmas Day. And my dad had come along, you know, and to my shock, he stood up and walked down the front. I said, "Dad, how are you?" I want you to pray this prayer after me. My dear old dad, with tears coming down his cheeks, I put my hand on his head and he was born again. He got saved. It was an awesome, one of the highlights of my life, you know? But he found it so hard to forgive himself. He found it very hard to believe that God had forgiven him. Some of the things he had done, he just was tormented by and still felt guilty. And there is a feeling in some people that if I don't deserve to receive forgiveness, I've done bad things. If I just stay feeling guilty, then at least that somehow pays for my sins. That somehow atones for some of the wrongs I've done. But you need to hear me this morning that you would give God far more honor and pleasure by accepting the sacrifice of Jesus, his only son, for your forgiveness and live a forgiven life set free by the power of God than by holding on to any of your guilt and torment and thinking by some way that that's pleasing God. This morning, I have an emancipation proclamation over your life. You are forgiven. Neither do I condemn you, says Jesus. Neither do I condemn you. Others may accuse you. Others may condemn you. But I don't condemn you. He didn't come into this world to condemn the world. He came into this world to save the world. And religion has so often brought the victim, said, let's stone them, let's judge them, let's put them down. Jesus, he writes on the ground. He writes his blood into the ground of planet Earth, and it cries out for mercy that your soul would be set free from the chains of darkness, of condemnation, of accusation. And he breaks the snare of the fowler to set you free, people, in Jesus' name. And that is why everybody breathes and aches for freedom on the inside, but we find it's elusive. It escapes us because there is only one way for that freedom to hit our soul, and that's through the blood of Jesus. When a forgiveness from heaven comes like a tidal wave, a tsunami of the love of God, pouring into your heart, pouring into your spirit, and you're overwhelmed with that love. If you've not ever felt that, you need to reach out to God here today and break through all of the torment and the guilt and come to God. He's got full of mercy. He's filled with grace. He's filled with the love of God. He has the answer for your soul, for your life, to forgive you, set you free, and get you on a walk that'll take you into life eternal. In Jesus' name. So let me tell you, that's the freedom that He wants to bring into your life. Not a freedom where you think, we can do whatever we want. Let's reconfigure our ideas on sexuality. Let's reconfigure our and recalibrate our thinking about what liberty really means, about what we can do with our lives and how we can shape up our whole freedom of speech. That word is applied in so many ways. And when we see legislations that are trying to make wrong right, it's not a new difficulty. It's been around for a while. Psalm 2:2 says, "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, 'Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us.'" They're thinking, we're going to get free from those old traditional rules and those old ways of thinking, not realizing that you're walking into a trap that's going to bind you far more strongly than the liberties you experienced when there were clear boundaries in your life. You find over in Proverbs 7:21, "With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately he went after her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost him his life." That can happen inside your computer. You don't have to be walking down the street for that to happen. And too many have found a liberty inside their computer cyber world, so they can go wherever they want, do whatever they want. But you're not doing it without consequences, without repercussions in your own soul. And eventually it says he did not know it would cost him his life. He did not know that he was going into a trap, into a snare. And the pathway to bondage begins with temptation. It begins with that hankering to do something that you know you don't want to do it. You know you shouldn't do it. But there's a piece of you, a big piece of your appetite that just says, yeah, I want to do that. And you ignore all the other things that are trying to restrain you from that. And you just go ahead. And then you come out of that and you go, oh, Lord, I blew it. I messed up. And you get right and you feel that forgiveness and you're good. You're at peace again. But in that condition, you think, the thought, I could do it again. And you get into a cycle. And that's a trap. That's the snare that this guy is in. This is to do with immorality, sexual immorality. But temptation isn't always into those areas. The two most famous temptations in the Bible have got nothing to do with sin, even though they are sin, temptations to sin. But what we would normally think, lying, cheating, stealing, you know, stuff that's wrong, murder, sex stuff, all that, we think that's sin, but that's not always what we're tempted to do. Adam and Eve ate this apple thing, right? Whether it was an apple, we all think it was an apple. Well, certainly the apple company think it was. And you know, you got this apple with a bite out of it. But there's nothing wrong with eating an apple. There's nothing sinful about eating an apple, only if God told you not to eat from it. And you say, oh, you know, what could be wrong with eating an apple? What could be wrong with eating that? Just take the whole human race down a big hole. This is going to be such a long line, lining up to slap Adam on the face into heaven, you know, like, what are you thinking? It was the woman, she made me do it. What a wimp, huh? And then she says, it was the snake, it was the devil made me do it. Blame shifting is not a new issue. It was my DNA, it was my genes, it was my, you know, like whatever. God has given you sovereignty. He's given you the capacity to make some decisions. And right there, when you've got that itch that you want to scratch, that's the point that you pick up your cross and deny yourself. Oh, it's so hard to do. In the middle of it, you think, listen, there are going to be 1,000 things in this life that you're never going to do. Just accept that fact. Live with FOMO. Embrace it. Lean into it. Fear of missing out. I'm going to miss out on a whole bunch of stuff, but praise Jesus. Some of that stuff you're going to miss out on is only going to be horror stories. It might be pleasurable, but the pleasure lasts for what? 30 seconds? And 40 seconds, 50 seconds, whatever it is, it's not going to be too long. And then it's like the rest of your life, you're paying for something. The price is always far higher than the tempter is trying to tell you. So the road is like, come, this is delicious. Oh yeah, you could do it. And you bite it and it's a chocolate ball full of hooks. And the chocolate tastes, now it's got you. And you're manipulated. How are you going to get out of this thing? How are you going to break that thing? How are you going to get set free and made free? Well, let me tell you, I'm glad you asked. Psalm 124, verse 7. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped in Jesus' name. Amen. So listen to me. There is a way out of any entrapment, of any cyclical behavior, any addictive, obsessive fixations that you've got in your life that you can't escape, whether it's in your head, that you can't stop thinking about certain things that drag you down, worry gets a hold of you, panic attacks, all these areas that you feel like you're trapped. Jesus Christ came into this world to set you free, to break the snare of the fowler, no matter how wrong it was that you walked into it. He has the power to do that, to set you free right from the start. Now listen, when we come into this area of being set free, he says, go and sin no more. I want you to stay free. I want you to stay in the realm of forgiveness. And so I'm going to ask you to walk circumspectly. In Ephesians 5 and verse 1, can you find that there for me? Amen. Read it on the board. You got that? No. Oh, thought you would have it. You got it? Ephesians 5, 1. It's disappeared out of my notes too. Amen. Well, the it says there, I want you to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. So to walk circumspectly is to walk with a circle around your life. Circum means circle, to circumnavigate the earth, you go around the earth. And so, like those walls around those cities that I was talking about before, you set up walls. Like a budget is a wall. It's like, we're going to spend this much and no more on food each week. So Chris, my wife here, looks more like my daughter this morning. She has a budget that I allow her of $13.50 each week for food. She's a magic worker, and she gets a lot more than that. And just helping the guys. Because there's a certain limit on what you're allowed to spend, you got to negotiate to get a better price. Or you go to the Harris Farm reject fruit bowl seconds where the fruit looks just as good as the other stuff, and you get a whole bag full of lemons for a dollar instead of paying a dollar a lemon over at the good stuff, you know? Because you just start to, you got a wall. You got a budget. We're going to spend this much on this new TV, we're going to spend this much on that, and you don't go any higher, and it forces good thinking, resourcefulness, all kinds of things. That's just in that area. On your calendar, this is how much time I'm going to allow myself in my phone, or this is how much I'm going going to devote to watching that Netflix series. Oh, we won't go there. That's a little tender, isn't it? Right. Okay. I talked to somebody the other day. They said they started watching at 10 in the morning and finished at 11 at night. It was their day off, thankfully. But I was thinking, man, you know, it's like just watching one long movie, isn't it? But if you don't have a budget on your calendar, I'm going to spend an hour in the Bible each day. I'm going to spend an hour in prayer. I'm going to spend some time at the gym. You create boundaries for your life. Otherwise, you're living in no man's land. You'll find that you waste your time. And before you know it, you're 50 years old, 60, 70. It goes so quick. And you're grinding your teeth, wishing about all the things you could have done, should have done. But it's never too late to set up some walls right now and to say, I'm going to get it together and start living my life according to that scripture so that I'm living in wisdom and not as a fool. So that builds character. When you start, how do you build these walls? Well, I'm not talking about gifts and talents here. You can't be given character. Character is something you build in your life. You don't have a miracle and suddenly have integrity. Like, oh, I had the miracle of integrity today. Amen. Oh, God, I just got the miracle of punctuality. It just happened like that. Oh, Lord, thank you for reliability. It just hit me right then, you know. Now I'm a reliable person. No, that character, trustworthiness, reliability are those walls, and they're built brick by brick. So as you do it every day you build another one. Now, the reason we build them is because something is resisting us. That's how you build bits of your character. There's a temptation to do something, or there is an opposition, and instead of yielding, you say no. When you do that, you put another brick in the wall of your character, and you get a little stronger and a little more defended by your internal policies. So, let me say this again. I think I might have said it last week, but you know, I've come across guys who set up some accountability systems whereby if they ever went onto a particular website, it'd pop up on one of their friends' computers or two of their friends. And they'd ring them up and say, hey, what you doing on that website? And so they had this kind of accountability. But every one of them that I know found a way around that inside the computer. Because if you're expecting your world to get your character to be built by other people on the outside, it just isn't going to happen. You have to have a commitment within to a personal integrity that you say, I'm creating these boundaries and I'm happy for people to keep me accountable, but I'm going to actually make an intentional attitude inside it and an intention to build this wall of resistance against that thing and build a character, build a life. And let me tell you this, what you intend to do will attract spiritual power. When you are intentional about doing the right thing, the power of the Holy Spirit will come and help you. He will empower you. Conversely, if your intention is to do the other, you'll get spiritual assistance from another world that is dark, because everything revolves around your decision making. And there may be things that you think, oh, I don't think I could do it. None of us can. But once you intend to do the right thing, you're going to find that there is a power from heaven that'll equip you to be an overcomer, that'll enable you to fly higher. But God will not violate that decision-making process. Make the decision to have Jesus in your life, and you'll find you'll overcome at every level. One of the things is that you'll find God will occasionally bring pain into your world. I know that doesn't sound great, but God is not your mother. He's your father, amen. And he's still into discipline. Even though we got legislation that says you're not allowed to do it, well, God's bigger than, he's in heaven. And he still will chastise his children. I mean, it's great we sing, now I am a child of God, woo! Well, it's great singing it and saying it until he starts treating you like one. Because he says, if you're without chastisement, you're not one of my children. He says, I do it because I love you. I do it because this is going to help you more than just giving you ice cream all day, patting you on the head and saying, thanks for turning up at church. You know, it's like you're going to find yourself in moments where there's a bit of pain and it's difficult and it's troubling and it can be quite confusing. But he wants you to stay grounded in church and not just sulk and throw a tantrum and walk out and say, oh, I'm done with Christianity. It hurts too much. It will hurt every now and then. Nobody's ever promised you there's just going to be candy floss and ice cream for the rest of your days. There will be moments, and pain will teach you more than laughter ever will. And you'll find that in Hebrews 12, verse 1, there, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And you're wanting peace in your life, but the roadway there may be character building so that you stay when you don't want to stay. So you keep walking when you don't want to keep walking. You stay in the marriage when you don't want to. You stay in the relationship. You keep working on it. You think it's too hard. It's impossible. We've all been there. There's a scripture in Corinthians where Paul says, there's no temptation that will overtake you that is beyond what you're able to bear. And I've gone, yeah, right, Jesus, amen. I've been there where I've said, well, you've just gone too far this time. I just want to get in the car and keep driving and driving and driving. Both Chris and I, not just me, we plot together how we can just keep driving all the way to China. But we're still here. So obviously it wasn't more than we could bear. Obviously we got there. Obviously we got to the other side of it. You might say, oh, I don't know if I can cope with overcoming this thing. You can. Because there is a power from heaven that enables you to make that decision to build the wall to protect your freedom. You know, just as I come to a close, if the musicians could come. Solid message, huh? You doing all right? You still with me? You know, nobody's left, so we're doing okay. You know, like, what? Walk out on that message, my God. You know. So here's the thing. Some of us definitely have found ourselves set free, forgiven. Thank you, Jesus. And we're walking out of Egypt. We're walking out of 400 years of slavery. Do you know, they were slaves for 400 years. That's three generations, at least, maybe four, where people who were born a slave died a slave. Three generations of being born and dying as slaves. That psychology is pretty deep in their head. Down at the circus, when they get a young elephant, put a chain around its leg and put a stake in the ground. The elephant stands there, tries to get away, can't get away. After a couple years of this, they can take the chain off. Elephant just sees the stake, thinks I can't go anywhere. It could walk as free as it likes, but the chain is in its brain. And for a lot of us, even though we have been set free, there are still chains in our mind thinking, I don't know how I could ever be that person, how I could ever walk free. These Israelites are walking out of Egypt, 400 years, deep psychology of I'm a victim, I'm a slave, I'm owned by others. I'm manipulated. I've been in this addiction for so long. I've been in this obsession for so long. I'm fixated in this thought pattern so long. But you know you've been set free. You're walking away from it. And you're out. You feel out. But you can hear the sound of chariot wheels thundering down behind you. Because just because you got free doesn't mean the devil gives up. He wants to get you back to where you once were. And so you can hear those chariot wheels. You can feel the breath of horses on the back of your neck as they're thundering down behind you, ready to try and capture you back. You're standing at the Red Sea. You're thinking, my God, I got nowhere to go. This is impossible. I knew I could get out, but I don't know how I'm ever going to make it from here on in. Well, happy news, people. He split the sea so I could walk right through it. He didn't just split the sea. He drowned the enemy. He broke the snare. He buried the force that tried to keep you captive. He put into the oceans every force that has accused you, that has condemned you, that has tried to make you feel tormented and guilty. He buried it in the ocean. He closed the Red Sea over the horses, over the chariots, over every force that has tried to bury you. He has buried it. And today, I'm declaring, people, you're set free. Come on, let's stand up. Father, we thank you today. Come on, give the Lord a clap offering. Magnify him. Thank him. Lord, you're good to us. Your mercy endures forever. Just while we're all standing here with our eyes closed, if you are feeling like that enemy is creeping up on you, trying to drag you back, take you out, make you a slave again, just reach out to God, and I'm going to pray for you here today for that freedom to be realized and appropriated. Expect a miracle. Expect the snapping of a chain. Expect fears to be dismantled. Hear today, Father. Hear my cry, God. Listen to my prayer, Lord. I'm asking that everybody in this place, and I'm thanking you that everybody in this place will find that freedom that you speak of in Scripture. Your word is powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting through every chain, every barrier, every bondage, every snare, every trap. And here today, Father, I thank you that right now, fears fall off people's lives, torment ceases in their mind, guilt is snapped as we receive forgiveness. As we accept the love of God, as we see the enemy drowned in the ocean, all those things that have tried to accuse us, lost. We have hope for the future, Father. You have a promised land ahead of us. We thank you that we'll achieve it. As we keep to those boundaries, we don't go to the right or the left, we just follow that path. Commit ourselves to following Jesus, picking up our cross, saying, yes, we will deny ourselves and we will follow you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your blessing, for your presence and your power to live in every heart.
Thanks for listening. You can order any of Pastor Phil's resources at philpringle.com or at c3store.com. We are always encouraged to hear the stories of great decisions you have made and the great things God is doing in your life. So if you have a story to share or if you have a prayer request, please email us at podcast@myc3church.net.